Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a 7th grade grandson of Sawanoka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evening and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous plant-based native sacraments. Aho. You're listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of White Roots Peace Council.
500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
I'm Austin Powers. I like Gas Mojo. The very sexy and very switched on, yeah.
You gotta have Gas Mojo, baby, yeah!
What a gas, baby, yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi, folks, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do this. You just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net Engine Booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter, it contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary medium. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks, and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it.
Hello, everybody. This is Water coming to you from Hooker County in the mysterious Ozarks in Mid-America and Southern Missouri. And our honored guest today is Paul Thomas, the chief elder of the...
Paul B. Thomas. Yeah, there's another Paul Thomas up here. My middle initial B is a boy I always include that.
He's the chief elder.
Keep me separated from the other Paul Thomas up here.
Chief elder of the Cherokee Elders.
He's in the funeral.
Tell us about the Cherokee Elders Council and how people can become a part of it.
Tell you about it.
Tell us everything.
Well, we've been organized since 1996, and we have given away tons and tons of food, clothing, furniture, shoes, and we currently are getting three or four kind of foods from the Feed Your Children program that we, when we get those plats of food, there are four. We make up food baskets and put a frozen chicken in each one, and we give away 200 or 300 of those a week. And we get good food and things for the people who can't afford to, you know, to eat properly. And we're still meeting the first Saturday in each month at the Mays County Courthouse, third floor. And
that last space you ever saw.
I recently stepped aside as a chief elder. Because I was diagnosed with diabetes.
Oh, my gosh.
And my health was not good. And I turned the organization over to Jack Hummingbird from up in Afton, Oklahoma. And he is the new chief now. I am the chief emeritus.
Uh-huh.
And they're giving me a plaque and a lifetime thing. I will be consulted on major decisions and things. I'm not just completely out of the organization, but I've let Jack take it over because of my health. I was diagnosed. I had 650 blood sugar counts.
Oh my God!
That's enough to kill a lot of people. And so I'm on heavy medication now, and my wife watches very closely what I consume in the way of food, and she takes my blood sugar 2 or 3 times a day and gives me my insulin. I'm on insulin now. And, of course, my mother had sugar diabetes, but she lived to be 96 with it. And then I've got glaucoma from her. Which I've had eye surgery about a month ago, cataract surgery, laser surgery to remove cataracts through the Indian Health Service, and I'm getting along fine on that deal.
Good.
And otherwise, everything is staying about the same. We, like I said, we still meet once a month, the first Saturday. And each month, and this coming Saturday will be our meeting day at the Mays County Courthouse. The elders still meet
there
on the first Saturday.
Well, how can folks? Now, when I first met you, it's been probably back in 1998. We visited you over at the courthouse before you retired from a job that you had there.
I have community service director.
Right. And you spent a lot of years with the Los Angeles Police Department.
Yes, 15 years with the LAPD. I have been talking to Captain Floyd Phillips out in California. He was my commanding officer at one time. I work Metropolitan Division. That is the showcase outfit that handles nothing but felony cases and plainclothes units. And it's a very, very strenuous division to work in. I mean, there's always robberies, burglaries, all kinds of felony. And I went to a reunion a year ago in June in Las Vegas, and there was 125 of my LAPD buddies showed up.
Wow.
And we had a bang-up time out there. Now, this last June, I didn't get to go because I had a stroke, and nobody could go with me out there, so I couldn't go by myself. So I missed this last reunion, LAPD, but I'll be going maybe next year.
Well, the last time I saw you was the night of that big tornado in Oklahoma City. We had been in a meeting over at the Wilson's Creek Battlefield in Missouri, and we heard about the tornado. And we holed up at your house for a while and then drove home, got home about 3 o'clock in the morning and found out that tornado had passed between us and Walmart where we shopped. So if it had been a quarter mile further west, it had gone right over our house. But we sure appreciate your hospitality that night, because that was quite a night. But you, the Cherokee Elders Council has always been close to my heart, because you encourage anyone that's 55 years or older to join,
55, uh-huh.
whether or not they have a CDIB or not.
And you don't have to be Indian to belong.
That's right.
All you have to do is believe in our philosophy of helping each other. And but of course, you may not be able to vote if you're not. We have active members, associate members that can vote. And then there's caught me kind of a surprise here. We appoint people sometimes to, what do you call it?
Ad hoc.
Pardon me?
Oh, you just some ad hoc appointments for positions and committees, I suppose.
Yeah. But to be able to vote, you have to be an active member. You have to have Cherokee blood
right.
to be an active member.
Got to be to vote. You have to have a CDIB card.
We had that. You know, if it's going to be an Indian organization,
right.
you have to do something to preserve that.
And your 501c3 status.
501, yeah.
Right. Now, from what I recall, you wanted to have at least one. Your idea was that when you spoke with me years ago, that what you envisioned was that any place there was 50 or more Cherokees gathered, you wanted to have one person in that group that was a member of the Cherokee Elders Council. In other words, you wanted this to be a nationwide organization and have people networking with you all over the country, right?
We've got chapters in Georgia and Washington now, and Texas.
That's excellent.
They send us reports on their monthly meetings, and that keeps them up to date. It's nice to have all these people, because if you need something done somewhere, you got somebody out there. I talk to the people in Habersham County, Georgia, quite frequently. That's where the Ward family originated there. Have you read my book I wrote?
We sure have. We
Cherokee Tree.
We bought a copy of it when we first visited you, and that's a cherished possession.
Cherokee what?
It's a cherished possession. We cherish that possession. We love your book.
Yeah, well, I sent one to the Birmingham, Alabama Public Library. Somebody put it. Bob Zilli put it on the internet that I had written the book, and then they saw it and called me the Birmingham, Alabama Public Library, and I sent them a copy. They were going to buy some books from me. I don't know when, but I'll have them for them.
Well, I really appreciate your attitude about, you know, who's a Cherokee and who isn't, because there are many, many Cherokees that didn't get on the rolls because of the political climate.
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of people of Native American blood that don't get any credit for it because their folks didn't pursue the signing up as they should have, or there was other circumstances that kept them from it. But yes, there are many, many people out there.
You were telling me that if you'd been born 50 miles north of where you were born, you wouldn't.
Yeah, if I was born up in Kansas, my dad probably wouldn't have been. I'm looking at his enrollment papers here, his allotment, his 80 acres, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's up at Adair. That's 10 miles north of here where I was born. But I've got, my mother saved me his original, dated 1905, signed by Chief Rogers, Bert Alexander Thomas, number 6644. The description of the land where he it's a big hay meadow out there. Beautiful piece of ground. And down by the Adair Cemetery.
But it's, there are a lot of people that are waking up to their Cherokee blood, and in a way, it's fulfilling that
seventh generation prophecy that, I understand that people that go to work over at the complex in Tahlequah are told about some of the old prophecies and what would happen seven generations after the Trail of Tears. That seems to be coming true to the point where the enrollment office is swamped to the point where they may not always appreciate how many people want to become members of the tribe, or the nation, rather. But you have a little bit more. People don't understand that there's a political meaning to being a Cherokee, and the Cherokee Nation and the United Ketua Band.
I don't fool around down there much. They don't satisfy my desires too much. The way Chief Smith's running the thing. We've had some sorry chief executive officers. Bird, Wilma, Smith, Swimmer. I'm telling you, we've had a run of them.
Yeah.
And they're letting Ross Swimmer now come in. He let all that trust money get away from them, millions. Now Congress has reappropriated all that money for those Indians, and they're going to let him redistribute it. I never heard of such a stupid thing in my life. Give it, it's just like putting the fox in charge of the chicken house.
Well, he's running the BIA, the Bureau.
Pardon me?
He's running the Bureau of Acknowledgement and Research now, is he not?
He's something with the BIA.
He's with the BAR, yeah, the Bureau of...
Second in command, I think, or something.
And
yep.
They have things even on the phone.
But,
he's the same old Ross. That never changes his spots.
Now, I understand, now, my friend John Duke, that we spoke of earlier, and yourself, you were in an age bracket where you were not only enrolled in Cherokee Nation, but you were also enrolled in United Ketua Band.
Yes, I am. Who'd you call the other one?
John Duke.
John who?
Duke. John Duke, the fellow that we spoke of earlier, D-U-K-E.
How you spell that?
D as in Delta, U as in Uniform, K as in Kilo, E as in Echo, Duke.
Duke?
Uh-huh. John Duke.
D-U-K-E.
That's right.
John Duke.
Right.
I can't place him.
Yeah, they called him Red Hat. And he lived out in Albuquerque. He was a friend of mine.
Oh, uh-huh. One of those New Mexico boys that come
from right.
Back here.
Actually, he was...
The leeches live out there.
He was born over in Ada, Missouri, and grew up in Tulsa.
Uh-huh.
And
I haven't heard from him.
Yeah, he passed away the end of last year.
Oh.
But folks.
Well, the Ketua Band's been all screwed up lately too.
Well, tell us about what's going on.
Huh?
Tell us about a little bit about politics and what's going on nowadays.
September.
And the Ketua Band and in the church.
Oh, I haven't been. I don't know anything recently. Anything about. Personal about the Ketua Band. I see, talk to Roberta Smoke once in a while. She is a council lady from over there.
Right.
Uh-huh. Roberta Smoke. You know who she is? John Hare's wife.
Right. I'm familiar with the name. But
her brother, Charles Smoke, is a dear friend of mine. He comes to see me and helps me with my yard work here. And, I see Charles about two or three times a month. He'll come by and work a little bit with my wife here, helping her.
Maybe you can tell the listening audience a little bit about the rivalry between the United Ketua Band and the Cherokee Nation and how you see it.
Possibly mid-80s. There could be one or two rainstorms. We're going about 20% coverage. We'll show you that in a moment. But the sunshine we had earlier today... Really
rivalry?
The rivalry, uh-huh. The competition between the two?
Oh, I don't... That hasn't been around for some time.
The Ketua Band
operates on a different frequency. They have different... they're into gambling now. The Cherokee Nation spot out. A racetrack east between Claremore and Pryor.
Energy from that. This is midnight.
A racetrack.
Hey,
Paul, you might want to turn your TV down and.
I don't have it on.
Oh yeah, okay, I can hear it in the background.
So again, we're talking about 20% coverage here. I think
but anyway, so tell us a little bit more about your aims as far as the Cherokee Elders Society and a little bit.
Well, the Cherokee Elders Council was organized and founded by me, and I did that because I wanted to get an organization that would have some standing in the community, because I used to go down to the Cherokee Nation Council meetings and they wouldn't even recognize anybody and let them speak.
Yep.
So we'll see if we'll about 20% coverage there.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. The originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two sales of Greek words, Ayurveda, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs. The benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because they're a synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because it contains whole herbs and fruits, Ayurveda formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe research and effective Ayurveda based products using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money back guarantee. So be sure to visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
So I came back here and organized here. Now we have some standing, and they come to see us now. We're doing such good work. The Chief does, Chief Smith, and Joe Bird used to come by. And, of course, Wilma and Ross are at they're still in the background down there.
Right.
Oh, I heard you commenting on something the other day, and I thought, well, you know.
How's Wilma's health?
Pardon me?
How is Wilma's health?
Oh, I think she still got that kidney trouble.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, she wasn't well there for a while.
Yeah, she, let's not talk much lately.
Right.
She's still married to Charlie Soap.
Charlie Soap.
Yeah, and I guess they're getting along fine. I don't have any quarrels with them anymore. I've quit going down there and getting into it with them. So I just kind of stay up here and mind my own little kettle of fish here, which is the Elders Council, and we're just doing wonderful work here.
I know it's. You're,
and I get letters from people all over the country telling us heard we did so and so. So you know, I talked to the ex Chief Justice of the Supreme Court a while ago, Dwight W. Birdwell.
You supported him for chief against Chad Smith.
He what?
Didn't you support him for chief against Chad Smith?
Oh, I supported him against everybody.
Right.
And he was the only honest man that we've had run lately to come in at 4-3. He only had $23,000, though.
Oh, yeah.
So that made the difference. Everybody else had over 100. So Dwight is doing real well. His insurance, his law firm at 217 North Harvey Street in Oklahoma City is flourishing at this time. And I contacted his daughter here a while back. She is a cross-country runner, Jennifer, for some blood disease out in Albuquerque.
Oh.
I sent her a donation for her efforts. She runs, and the money they take in, they give to I don't know, some kind of cancer group. And I talked to him about that, well, today.
He's
and his wife's doing real well. He's coming by to see me when he's
there. Well, he was a Vietnam War hero.
He what?
He was a Vietnam War hero.
He was a Vietnamese, a Silver Star, two or three Purple Hearts. And, he was a one-man army in that Vietnam. He slaughtered those people like they were going out of style.
Well, he wrote a book, I believe it was called 50 Miles of Bad Road.
About Highway 101.
Right.
They run their trucks up and down 101 over there. Yeah, Dwight did that.
Well, he had a grenade or something explode in his face, and he had something explode in his face. He was badly burned and was still scarred, but he kept on fighting, didn't turn himself in for medical treatment.
So
I encourage everybody to read his book, but I caught the vision of the Cherokee Elders Council myself, and I've been promoting it wherever I could, and the folks that are listening to this broadcast will be able to download an application. I've got an application that you gave me originally, Paul.
I visit with Robin Mays frequently. He's down at in Texas now.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he's teaching school down there, and so is his wife.
Is he still heading up the 1839 Constitution?
Pardon me?
Is he still heading up the 1839 Cherokee Constitution movement?
No, that's kind of faded away.
Kind of dead now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They're not doing a whole lot. He and I don't know who else is in that with him. But Robin is a very, very good, honest person. And he's doing a good job. He's got a new deal teaching some younger children down there in Texas. And what's the name of that town he lives in? I forgot.
Dallas or something. I'm not sure.
I mean, let me look at my book here.
This test is very important. It determines what track you'll be on in middle school.
Yeah, for a while, there was a movement to restore the 1839 Cherokee Constitution, and because there's a lot of people that were unhappy with the 1975 Constitution, and while Paul's looking up Robin's address, going back here in the late 90s, even up to I think about 2001, there was a real effort to push to restore the 1839 Constitution and restore the Cherokee Nation to the original treaties.
They've tried to give Robin a family a bad time. The administration here a while back, he was telling me they live on some allotted land here, and the present administration was trying to get them kicked off of that.
Well, that's a little hard to do. Because one of Robin's ancestors...
He lives in Denton, D-E-N, Denton, Texas.
North Texas. Because one of Robin's ancestors was Principal Chief Mays.
Yeah, he is a great-grand... Ross. R-O-S-S.
Mm-hmm.
Chief Ross was his great-granddad.
But there was a Chief Mays after John Ross's son...
John Ross, yes.
But there was a Chief Mays also by 1896, because he was the one that 36 members of my family applied in 1896, and they were demurred for a lack of jurisdiction. They didn't, in other words, they didn't live in Indian Territory, so they didn't get enrolled. But Chief Mays signed that demurrment. So there have been Mays.
Well, see, Robin got fired by Wilma when he was working down there, and he sued and got his job back, and they offered him monetary compensation, and he refused it. That's the kind of guy he is.
I'll be done.
He's a very honest man. He said, no, all I want is my job back and my good name. So they've been after him ever since. They killed his dog, shot him on Robin's front porch on Catoosa Street there in Tahlequah before he moved. And, oh, they have just given him prank phone calls. His wife won't even answer the phone much anymore.
Oh, that's
Yeah, they have just really showed themselves. I've never found him to be anything but a very honest man. He never did lie to me about anything, never tried to get me into anything. He was always up and above board with what he was doing.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't buy one of those coins that he was offering.
I found two of them the other day, these dollars.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I've got one made into a neck piece from a tie.
I'll be nice.
Yeah, and I can, it's on a swivel, I can turn the dollar and put the heads outside or the tails outside. Either way, I can wear it either way. And I found two of them. I knew I had one, but I looked in the drawer and there was another one in there. I've sent several of them out. Now, I don't think, do you know how to get a hold of Corn Silk?
David Corn Silk?
John, is that?
Oh, John.
You might get one of those dollars or two from him.
Okay. I'd like to interview him. I think he
Do you have his phone number?
Got his email address. He's still got a website up as far as I know.
Oh, you can get it, huh?
Yeah. Or I'll give you a call and get his phone number.
Call me back and I'll give you his telephone number sometime.
But is there as long as you'd like to keep telling folks anything you'd like to talk about. Is there anything else you feel the Cherokees that are unrecognized should hear? For instance, what do you think about the announcement that Chief Smith made a few years ago that he was going to begin visiting?
The announcement of what?
That he would begin visiting groups of non-recognized Cherokees.
Who said that?
Chad Smith.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, there was a press release a few years back where he was encouraging Cherokee Nation members who had cards that had CDIB cards.
Oh yeah.
Cherokee Nation citizens. He was encouraging them to stop belittling Cherokees who were non-citizens. And we thought that was a move in the right direction.
You know what? You lost me. He was encouraged them to do what?
It was a press release.
Press release.
That he encouraged Cherokee Nation citizens to stop belittling non-Cherokee citizens.
Stop belittling them?
Right. Right.
Oh.
And in other words, to make them feel more like they were wanted by other Cherokees.
Well, I never heard of anybody doing that myself.
Yeah, it was a press release a couple years ago, and you might have missed that, but we thought it was a step in the right direction. And at that time, he said he was going to begin going out and visiting groups all over the country of Cherokees, as long as they weren't claiming to be a tribe, a band, or a nation, which is...
Oh, yeah. I think I remember people were saying they were a Cherokee, and he took exception to some of them.
Right. But he's
well, I never do dispute anybody that says they are. If they say they are and they want to be, I just let it go. They aren't going to hurt us. If they can't get their identification, they aren't going to be able to do anything, much less vote.
Right.
So just let them go.
Well, it's pretty well known now that the Cherokee Nation, after the Civil War, discouraged, sometimes at gunpoint, and sometimes the U.S. government was involved. The Texas Cherokees, who had fought for the Confederacy, when they came up to Tahlequah to enroll, they were turned away at gunpoint by U.S. troops. So there has been apparently a move from long ago to keep a lot of Cherokees that they didn't want on the roll.
Yeah, well, the Dawes Commission came here and talked to my folks, and I saw the original signing up at the Muskogee office.
Right.
When I had the probation office down there in Muskogee. This guy from the BIA come over, he was a black man, and he said, would you like to see the original sign up, your grandpa and grandma and everybody? I said, yeah, I'd like to see it. Well, when I got over there and looked at it, I had my grandpa was always put the mail first. They had a line drawn through it, and afterwards it was said, disallowed. My grandfather, I.W. Thomas. So I came home. He didn't know why. Asked my mother, who is a white lady. She said, well, your Grandpa Thomas was Choctaw, and he signed up for Cherokees and Choctaws both, and you can't do that.
Oh.
You got to be one or the other, so the Cherokees just crossed him off. But my grandmother and my dad and all of my dad's brothers and sisters are very much... in fact, I've got I've mentioned to you before, I've got his allotment papers here for land, the original copy dated 1905, and I've got it encased in some plastic stuff here where I had it hanging up in the courthouse where I worked up here. They're going to tear the courthouse down here and build us a new one.
Is that right?
In Mays County, uh-huh.
I
don't work there anymore. My wife put 36 years in that courthouse from the district attorney's office, and I had 30-some as a parole officer and 22 years parole officer and 11 years for the community service.
Oh, my God.
Wiley Blackwater, the sheriff here, he appointed me director of the community service program, and I have... notifications here from Sean Taylor. I had one of the best programs in the state of Oklahoma. Stratton is the most powerful man in the state. He's the top dog in the Senate, pro tem, Senate pro tem, you know.
Right. Well, you're a beloved man.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, of course you don't, because you're a humble fellow, but you are a beloved man, and if this were the old days, that's exactly what they call you.
Well, my great-great-grandmother was a beloved woman.
That's right, Nancy Ward.
Yeah.
She was geek off.
I've got a whole bunch of new Ward stuff here. My cousin, Edward Cucci, C-O-U-T-C-H-I-E. Just went home today. He's been here from California having that Ward reunion. He's one of the originators of it. He and George Richard that lives out of, you know where Old Green is?
No.
South of Westville, 2 miles west and a mile south of Westville. Old Green. That's where they took, what's his name? Shot and killed that lady.
Star?
Huh?
Star?
I have a really good idea to get us out of here, but you won't try.
I'm not, I don't know who it is you're talking about.
Really?
Zeke Proctor.
Oh, yeah.
Zeke Proctor shot and killed a woman at Beck's Mill. She got in the line of fire, and they took him down to Old Green, the Cherokees did, and was going to try him for that. And the federal marshals showed up and wanted him, and the our marshals and them got into it, and they killed a few of each other.
Yeah.
And my granddad and Zeke, Bud Thomas, my grandpa, was Zeke Proctor's partner, and they worked directly out of Judge Parker's court at Fort Smith.
Oh.
And they would bring wagon loads of prisoners. They'd come over into Indian Territory here.
You'll hang it,
when
Jeff.
My dad was 5 years old, that would be 1895, and they would stop there at the house, and my dad saw them take the handcuffed prisoners out and chain them around a tree and then leave them overnight, get up the next morning and go on to back to Fort Smith to deposit their prisoners, my granddad and Zeke Proctor. Now, Zeke's got some great-grandchildren that live right here in town. Shannon Proctor is a good friend of mine, and he's a great-grandson of Zeke. Of course, Zeke's buried out in the Johnson Cemetery east of Locust Grove on 33 Highway right now. That cemetery holds my grandma and several other prominent people. There's a little guy by the name of K-E-Y-S, Keys, that was the adjutant to Stan Waite. He's buried here in Pryor. And I've got Stan Waite's battle flag here.
Is that right?
Yeah, Major Ridge's grandson gave it to me. He lives, Gary Ridge, great grandson. He brought it over here and gave me Stan Waite's battle flag.
Yep.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few minutes. Hi, this is Bill Duar speaking on behalf of Media Gundam. As the systems of the body are interrelated, what occurs when they are in harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to curing the body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and prevent future diseases.
What's his name here in town?
Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of ParkHealthSupers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out where all the supplements are.
And it's not very big. I'm afraid to fly it out here. Pretty somebody will climb a pole and steal it. But I've got the 1839 flag that Cherokee Nation had. It's a 10 by 10 or 12. Great big flag. And I've got the original.
What's it look like?
Oh, it's just like the Cherokee Nation flag is now, except there's a few different colors on it.
It's got the Cherokee seal on it.
Yeah, And the AIM people came down here and stole it in the 60s off of our flagpole. And after I organized the elders, our second meeting back in the 67, I imagine, this young man came in, I've got his name and address, and handed me a package. And I opened it up, and it was the flag that we had stolen from us years ago. He brought it to me. It's been all over New Mexico and Arizona and California to all the Cherokee organizations out there. Well, I gave it to a lady here who is a seamstress. It had a few holes in it, and she passed it up, and I've got it here for safekeeping. We show it at our elders' meetings, and then I've got this short, this little one of Stan Waite's battle flag.
Battle flag, Cherokee.
I've got a book on him called The Red Fox. Have you seen it?
I've read that. That's a good book.
It's a nice book. And, of course, my folks were Southern sympathizers, and James Ward Jr. was murdered at Oaks Mission. That's in my book, Murder at Oaks Mission, that chapter. That's my dad's great uncle.
Well, your people were old settlers like mine.
Pardon me?
Your people were old settlers or Western settlers.
Oh, yeah, Now, my dad used to use that term. He wasn't too well educated, And my dad said to him one time after I got grown, I said, "You're always saying something about the old settlers. What is it? What does that mean?" Well, he stood there for a minute. He said, "The only thing I can tell you the way of explanation is when the Trail of Tears people got here, our folks were here already and had set up businesses, and we said, 'Welcome.'"
Well, yeah, see, the Western...
"To the Trail of Tears people. We welcomed them," he says.
That's right.
"So we were early settlers." And they still meet in June over at Shiloh, but that park where my dad met way back almost 100 years ago, they had a meeting over there just here a while back. That's where we had our reunion, over at the park there in Shiloh.
Well, the Western Cherokees came over to northwestern Arkansas, and they got a land grant from the federal government for most of northwestern Arkansas, and there was a reservation set up there in 1817. It was called Lovely's Purchase. And
Lovely what?
Lovely's Purchase. Was the chunk of land that the old settlers had. And they had a legitimate Cherokee government. One of the chiefs was George Lowry, and it was set up under the old Onigitawa.
What about Lowry?
George Lowry.
Oh, well, his descendant, Roy Lowry, is a dear friend of mine. He's one of my chief elders.
They
lives in Tulsa, Roy Lowry.
They had a traditional government in Arkansas from 1817 to about 1835. And then when the Trail of Tears bunch came out, there was twice as many Eastern Trail of Tears people that came out than there were people already in Arkansas. And they mixed it up. And
they got into some problems.
Yeah, there was a civil war there for
a
while.
Yeah, they shot two or three people killed. I don't know how many.
Chief Rogers was illegally deposed. And
Rogers' name is on my dad's papers I've got here, on his allotment papers.
There was a later, but this is the Chief Rogers.
There were a couple of Rogerses, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was an earlier.
I don't know which Rogers this is that signed in 1905 this allotment papers, a description of my dad's allotment land up in.
Oh, that would have been Will Rogers,
his family?
Yeah.
Oh, we're related to Will Rogers.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Of course, that's what everybody says.
Well, I think it was Clem Rogers' brother that was chief.
Clem, yeah. Well, I'm a very dear friend of Clem McFadden. Now, he is a grandnephew. McFadden.
Mm-hmm.
He lives over here at Chelsea. In fact, he got me my job with the state as a parole officer.
Wow, that's
Clem did. Yeah, I used to go over and visit with his dad over at the farm, and Clem would be there. We used to go over and during harvest season, I'd scoop oats out of a wagon into the, And then I visited Clem at Oklahoma City. And then he introduced me to this man that was in charge of the corrections department, and the guy hired me right there. And I put 22 years there.
How did you end up out in Los Angeles? When did you join the force back in the 50s?
1945.
Oh, my gosh.
I was working for the Department of Labor at Inglewood, California, upon my discharge. And I went in there to sign up for my 5220. Now, that was $20 a week for 52 weeks, unemployment thing. Well, they gave me a job. Instead of giving me a check, they put me to work.
Wow.
And I would take all the new people into a back room and give them an application to fill out and explain how to do it. Well, pretty soon I got acquainted with some of the people, and there was a guy, a Creek Indian, and he and several other guys from Oklahoma. And they said one day they come in, and there's always, they come in every week to get their check, and they said, "Hey, Paul, guess where we're going?"
Oh.
I said, "I wouldn't have any idea where you guys would be going." He said, we're going down to City Hall in Los Angeles and sign up for the Highway Patrol, LAPD, or the LA County Sheriff's Office.
Well,
you take a test and you can decide which one you want to be a part of. I said, wait a minute, and I'll go with you.
Wow.
So I went with him, and I checked opposite LAPD. So I made a score of 88 or 89, which I was surprised I did so well. 380 questions, the damnest things you ever saw.
Wow.
But anyway, they called me to the police academy, and I went right to work out of the chief's office for the administrative vice. That's one of the better jobs. And I worked that for a while. And then I went to 77th Street Division, and that's where we had the shootout where the blacks, that bunch that wore that earring in their ear.
Wow.
We killed a whole bunch of them. One of our bunch threw a hand grenade in the building and killed them all. I forget, what was they called? Anyway,
after World War II.
Huh?
After World War II.
Yeah, this was in 46, 47. Right?
Wow.
Yeah. But, when I came back from Germany, I was in three campaigns over in Europe. I was one of the first troopers to cross the Rhine River at Gelsen, and I got wounded at Gelsenkirchen, and they got me up now for a Purple Heart. Here, they got this congressman working on it. This young man here, this Kinder, what's his name? Brad, he's running for Senate here. Carson, Brad Carson. If he lives, he got an office in Claremore, and he says, they say, I've got enough. Well, I've got a medical slip here that says that I was admitted to the Gelsenkirchen Field Hospital April the 10th, 1945, with leg punctures.
Oh.
And they say that's enough to get the Purple Heart. Well, the guy that was all helping me with the disabled veterans, he got transferred. Now I've got a new guy that he's got to get acquainted with me now and start all over again. It's a pain in the butt when you're dealing with anybody. But I didn't ask for anything.
What unit were you in?
I was in the 219th Field Artillery Group, but I was in Oregon, Camp Adair, Oregon, at Corvallis, Oregon, and the captain was from Oklahoma City. He come in, he said, they're going to reactivate the old Fighting 69th Infantry Division, that James Kegney made that picture, you know, of Fighting 69th. Would you like to be one of the reactivators in it? I said, yes, if there's a promotion in it. And he said, well, draw yourself a set of first sergeant stripes.
Oh, my God.
And if you got my book, you'll see my picture wearing those stripes on the
I remember.
Second or third page there. Well, I went down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and reported to Captain J.S.R.O.L.L.M.A.N. Roman. And we had headquarters battery, division artillery in Hattiesburg. And then I went from there to the 219th Field Artillery. And J. Roman came to see me, my old captain, last year when I went to the LAPD reunion. He lives outside of Las Vegas, so he and Edith come to see me. In fact, they used to come through Pryor on old 66 here. He's from Kansas originally, Jay Rollman. And he would stay, you know, 2 or 3 days with me. I had a little farm out of Pryor here on 20 acres. And Jay and Edith used to stay with us a few days, and we would entertain them. And then when I went out there last year, I called and told them I'd be at a certain hotel, and they showed up right there when I got there from the airport, Jay and Edith both. And they're both not well.
Must have been a real treat.
And then we had a whole bunch of other people there. But most of my old bunch have died off of the 69th Division. They're dying off pretty fast. 1,000 a day out of World War II, they say.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I don't know.
That's true.
I keep up with a whole bunch of them. My battery clerk, he lives over in Virginia, and I write to him. He sends out a newsletter every 3 months. Charles Chapman. Chapman. And does a good job. And he lives over in Virginia. And he keeps up to date on everybody. He calls me and talks to me about what I've heard lately and so forth. So it's a real nice. I keep up with my old LAPD buddies and my Army buddies both.
What was it like growing up as a young Cherokee in the 20s and
30s? What
was it like growing up as a young Cherokee in the 20s and 30s?
My last what?
What was it like growing up as a boy?
Growing up here in the 20s,
uh-huh.
It was in the Depression. My dad made $1 a day. Hear this. And my mother worked in the same grocery store at Adair. She made $1 a day. And clerking in a general store in Adair. And my brother was going to Oklahoma University, where he graduated from the pharmacy school, and he retired as an executive with Lilly Drug Company, Dean D. Thomas, my brother. And I was in high school. My sister was in grade school. But my mom would send me to town with a pound of butter to the meat market, and I'd trade it to him for a soup bone. And she would go into the garden and pick the vegetables, and we'd have vegetable soup. And she'd make a big pan of cornbread and beans. We ate fine, but we didn't have, there was one thing that we didn't have was money. There wasn't any money. But my dad managed to give me 50 cents on Saturday night. I'd go to Claremore over there to a dance hall where a bunch of kids were here. We'd go over there and dance half of the night. And but it was hot, dusty. We'd have dust storms back in those days. And the Depression was on. And there just wasn't any money here. But we were happy. We had a good family life. Much better than they have today.
Yes.
And so I don't regret one bit growing us poor. In fact, I think it was a godsend. The only kids that had any money was the doctor's child or the man that owned the grocery store or somebody like that that was making money. But those of us, I went home one day and asked my dad to buy me a horse that we had a mounted patrol that Mr. C.R. Jackson organized. And my dad said, "Do you know what a good horse costs these days, son?" I said, "No, sir, I wouldn't have any idea." He said, $25. And I said, "Well, is that a lot of money?" He said, "I don't know. We don't have that much." And oats was 10 cents a bushel. He said, "I don't think we could afford to feed it if someone gave you a horse." But I've got a picture here of about 15 of them guys on horses, and me and all the other poor kids are kneeling down in front of that group. It's a Mays County Mounted Patrol, 1931. And then I've got a picture of the 1934-35 Adair High School football team, of which I was a member of. And we beat Tulsa East Central 62-0 that year, Adair High did. I was fullback and the best punter in the state, according to Rhett Ramsey, the coach up here. But Carden, that's up by Miami. I played up there one time, and I could really put the foot to that football, get those beautiful spirals. And he wrote an article. My mom had the article here. Paul Thomas, the best punter in the state of Oklahoma, Adair High School. And Brett Robeson was his name. And he went to Pittsburgh State College. And then I went to Anderson, Missouri. You know where that is?
I believe so.
Anderson. We moved to Lanigan. And about 3 miles on up the road is Anderson. My dad bought a service station had a grocery store up there, he and my uncle, and we moved up there in 1936, my sophomore year.
Is that near Springfield?
I went to school up there then, and hitchhiked through and back.
Yes.
But I liked it up there. High recreation area up there. There's a famous night spot up there. I forgot the name of the resort. Right there by Anderson. Ginger Blue. Ginger Blue is there. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Ginger Blue. It's a south. It's right there by Anderson, Missouri. It's a high place for people with a lot of money to spend recreation time.
Oh, is that near Springfield?
Yeah, and I lived in a little town called Lanagan, Lanagan.
Lanagan.
And 3 miles north was Anderson, Missouri. So I didn't have a high school in Lanagan, so I had to hitchhike to school every day. But I was good enough that I made the ball team up there, the high school basketball team. I played football, baseball, basketball, pole vaults, and high jumps, and ran to 220.
My word.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Bill Bluewater speaking on behalf of YC.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of savage the traditional Mormons stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the Mormons. Nowadays, everyone wisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, if some disaster befall us that could cause a big truck like I used to drive to start delivering our food, we'll be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of three different directions and delicious dinner entrees from YC.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are cooked and processed, and a fresh and more nutritious and better supermarket food. Just add hot water, and it's good for 25 years of doing store. A year's supply from YC.org takes an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center to escape some disaster. Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Menfeld have all invested in YC? Why visit YC.org today and see why.
I'm about to do in 3 weeks what you couldn't do in 30 years. Jack, you just got to learn to accept your limitations, okay?
Well, you're a tall fella.
Huh?
You're a pretty tall fellow.
6'2".
Yeah.
And I weighed 175 in high school. That was a pretty good sized boy then.
It was.
But you know, here we got 200 or 300 pounders now. I wouldn't make a pimple on a big on one of them's butt anymore.
Well, when you were young, did you ever have a chance to? I understand the Cherokee culture just kind of petered out. You know, in the
Cherokee what?
The culture, the dances, the traditional gatherings.
We didn't do much of that in my family because my mother was not Indian, and there wasn't many. They turned over to the ways of the white man when I come along. My dad was Indian land was at Adair. And there was a few other allottees up there, the original enrollees, but the high degree blood was not there. So we didn't do much in the way of traditional. My dad always, now when we go fishing, hunting, I go with him, and when you get quail or fish, all of a sudden he'd say, let's go. And boy, when he said, let's go, he meant right now.
Wow.
So I would always say, how come? The fish just now starting to bite. Well, I know. But we've got all we need now. Leave some for the guy that comes along tomorrow. That was his philosophy on hunting and fishing.
That's an Indian.
Yeah, And I used to shoot prairie chickens here They were wild as they are now, but there's not many. And they're a big bird, like a chicken, with feathers on their legs, and they fly and glide for a mile. But I could, as a young kid, I'd hide in the shocks of wheat and oats, and they'd fly in and land all around me, and I would shoot maybe with my rifle and kill one or two of them, they'd fly. But he'd give me hell for bringing one of them home. He said, you know that's against the law to kill. I said, yeah, I know, but I knew where the game warden was. I knew where he was.
Oh.
Well, they really weren't very good. They're kind of like, you know what a guinea is?
A guinea hen, uh-huh. Guinea
yeah,
hen.
They're dark meat. And there are a few chickens left here now. A lot of them migrated up to Kansas and western Oklahoma. But I can go out here on my old stomping grounds out there where my dad's allotment was, and I could get up some chickens if I wanted to. But there's a lot of quail here, ducks.
Was Redbird Smith still alive when you were a young boy?
No. Redbird Smith, I never knew much about him until Chad Smith came along and told me about him.
I think he died about 1915.
1915?
I believe so.
I wasn't born until 1919.
Yeah. So you're 84 years young this year. You're 2 years younger than my father, who's now passed on.
Uh-huh. I'm 85. I'll be 86 May 28th if I live that long.
Uh-huh.
I got a good report from my heart doctor the other day, and he's happy about the way I'm handling my diabetes. Oh, I was shocked when they said you're a diabetic. Of course, I do, sooner or later. But my mother, having had it,
yeah,
she lived to be 96 and a half with it, and she had glaucoma, too. But I got the glaucoma from her. Now I've got the diabetes from her.
Well, that's pretty common among Indians, diabetes.
Yeah, but I really never thought I would ever come down with it, because after I got to be 80, I thought, well, I'm going to miss it, I hope.
Right.
But I don't know how old Mom was when she discovered she had it. She was quite old. So it's not hitting our family at the young. Now, my sister is 80. She takes a pill or two once in a while. I lost my brother 2 years ago, James, over in Scottsdale, Arizona, after he retired from Lily. He used to take a pill once in a while for sugar diabetes. But he never did either one of them get to the needle. Well, I've taken I get the needle once a day now.
Right.
The cell shoots me right in the belly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, tell the folks about the big riot over at the courthouse a few years ago.
The riot at the Tahlequah? Oh, my God. I've got a picture of that.
With your cane, tell the folks what happened.
Yeah, I took my cane and punched my way in. They were throwing some of my kin folks off of that porch on the cement. And I went in there and poking people, highway patrolmen. You know, it's a good thing we didn't get in there, because they had people in there that were armed. They told us there wasn't anybody in there with guns. Well, there were, too.
Well, tell the people why that riot happened.
What now?
Tell the people what was going on politically in the Cherokee Nation.
I've got two rolls of film here. If you ever come by, I'll show you pictures of it.
I've seen some of it, but what was going on that caused the riot?
What was going on what?
That caused the riot.
Oh, Joe Bird had fired the deputies.
Will be.
And the Supreme Court members, and the Supreme Court had given us, Judge Birdwell was one of them, given me and my group permission to go down to go in and occupy the courthouse, the old Cherokee Nation courthouse. Well, when we got down there, there was a guy here in town, he's the mayor now, Chief Jordan, he wouldn't let us in. And one word led to another, and we got into a knockdown dragout with Bird's people, and that's what started the whole thing over us being admitted. I had a paper from the Supreme Court telling us that we could occupy the old courthouse.
Were you a marshal at the time?
Huh?
Were you a Cherokee Marshal at the time? Or?
No, I wasn't anything except just one of the guys that had been going down there all these years.
Yeah, I was just wondering what group it was that...
Byrd finally hired the marshals back and put the Supreme Court back. He reinstated them. Oh, I had a knockdown dragout with him. We had headed outside to do some fisticuffs, and the marshals got both of us. But I got into it with him at every meeting we go to down there. Oh, I called him everything but an honest man, I tell you.
I understand somebody even defecated in the middle of the floor. I believe it was in
the middle of what?
In the middle of the floor in the Supreme Court.
I don't know about that, but Wilma's daughter and her boyfriend did that over at the powwow grounds. I know a guy that was there. I didn't see it, but one of her girls and her boyfriend took a big dump there at one of the powwow grounds. They did make shambles of the courthouse. They treated it rather roughly. For that reason, Judge Birdwell gave us permission to go, one of the reasons, to go in there, and because he knew me and knew that we would clean everything up and keep it. My cousin... Darius Ward, my grandma's first cousin, made those bricks at Tahlequah out of that native clay and built that building. Darius Ward, I built the old courthouse at Tahlequah.
So it was a rivalry between the executive branch and Joe Bird at the time, and
executive and the
Judicial,
yes. Eventually, we overcame, and we got Joe Bird. I've got letters here from the justices thanking me for my efforts in getting rid of him.
Well, I understand Chad Smith's still under indictment.
He's under indictment. I've got a photograph of him being tackled when he ran across the area, the courtyard. He was tackled by one of the marshals, and that's on one of these tapes I got.
Oh, my. Sounds like you got the goods on a bunch of people.
But Chad still got that hanging over him.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You'll have to come up here sometime, and I'll show you.
We need to visit again. But the point is Cherokee Nation politics has always been pretty nasty, and even to the point where when Wilma Mankiller was asked if she'd run for Congress, and she thought somebody asked her, well, if you run for U.S. Congress, do you think you'd have any problems? And she said, well, after being involved in Cherokee politics, congressional politics would be a cakewalk. The Cherokee politics is pretty nasty.
Well, this guy that we've got running now is from the Adair family, Brad Carson.
Uh-huh.
He is Cherokee. He's, like I said, he's kin to the Adair family.
Uh-huh.
And they came to Adair County there and settled.
Uh-oh.
And he is kin to the Adairs and the Deloziers and the Allisons, all friends of mine up here in this little town of Adair, north of Pryor, where I'm from. He's kid, Paul Adair is one of my best friends, and he's a cousin to Paul. And he is running against this doctor.
Yeah, the doctor is the one that made the comments, the negative comments about Cherokees not being Indians.
Well, do you know that I was one-on-one with him a few years ago?
What's his name?
The
doctor.
Oh, shit. If you hadn't asked me, I could.
I know Chad Smith jumped all over him in the press about the comments. He's retracted some of it now. He's kind of ignorant about Indian politics in India.
Yeah, I had a meeting with him at Muskogee one-on-one, and we got into it pretty hot and heavy. And I had all but forgotten about that until I saw his name. And then he got talking about Cherokees again the other day, and I said to my wife, you know, he never knows where to keep his mouth shut. He's going to get into it again.
So everybody needs to support
what is his name?
I can't remember, but everybody needs to...
Wait just a minute. I got a paper here.
But everybody needs to support Brad Carlson apparently, for Eastern District here in Oklahoma. Yeah, apparently what he said was that his opinion, this doctor, and we can't remember his name right now, he's running for Congress. It was his opinion that the Cherokees weren't Indians anymore and so forth and so on, and just generally...
I don't know if there's anything in this paper... Here's an article. Children of the Confederacy. Well, this is a Daily Times prior paper about Cherokee families. Children, Adair couple share Cherokee ancestry and Confederate ties. There's an article on these people. And I know all of these people, the Hudsons and the Riders. I grew up with the Riders, personal Rider family. Now, I don't know if that, what the hell is that doctor? I thought maybe it was to have an advertisement in here.
I can't remember, but the point is everybody needs to support Brad. I want to encourage everybody to vote for Brad Carson for that seat there in eastern Oklahoma.
Now, Carson's pretty has tails tied up for this doctor.
Yeah.
What the hell? I've got a... I know I've got a paper here with his name in it. Wait just a second.
Take your time.
I've got a whole damn newspaper. Mobster receives life sentence. Hey.
Is this a congressional race or Senate?
There's a congressional race also, but the Senate's the one we're talking about. And
well, you certainly don't want a senator from representing eastern Oklahoma that doesn't believe the Cherokees are Indians. Not
we
Indians.
Don't want a senator that don't like Indians.
That's right.
I don't think.
I think he shot himself in the foot for getting elected after he stirred up a hornet's nest.
Hi, man. Let's get this. See if I can find the front page. Surely there'll be something here on this front page.
I might be able to find it here in a second. I'm on searching on the internet right now here. So he's running against Brad Carson.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see here.
Well, you will find that other guy's name pretty close to Brad Carson, I imagine. You know, any other time, those politicians things would be right staring you in the face. I'm looking for it.
Well, see, that's, Senator Nichols is retiring.
Yeah, he was a horse's ass as far as I'm concerned. I was highly recommended for the United States Marshal's job here a few years ago. Nichols called me over to interview me. I was the sorriest interview I have ever... I was really humiliated. He didn't ask me about anything about my experience or anything with the LAPD. I was told that I was the, as far as experience went, was the leading candidate for that job. And Jimmy Carter promised the NAACP that he was going to put me in. And then when it came, Tom Bradley... you know who that is?
Yeah, he was a former mayor of Los Angeles.
L.A., yeah. Well, I worked with him when he was a sergeant on the PD. Tom Bradley. Oh,
right.
Yeah, he was a good friend.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, he was a good friend of mine.
that you agreed to.
And he called me and told me that the NAACP was endorsing
me.
But Carter changed his mind. Rosalind Carter come down here and stayed at Western Hills Lodge. And there was a retired highway patrolman there that was a Southern Baptist, and damned if he didn't get the job. And I had three or four times as much experience, you know, as he did.
Well, this is Dr. Tom Coburn.
Coburn, that's it. Dr. Tom Coburn.
Yep.
And I went head-to-head with him a few years ago about the Joe Bird fiasco that we were in.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called It's a system of medicine that originated from India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means science and life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates a balance of body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for control and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because of the synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals not produced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers to stay for all research and service Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much that we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us and find out what this is all about.
He was, the best I remember, he was sympathetic to the bird people. And I was not, because I saw personally what bird and the rest of them were doing. And we were having personal difficulties with them. And so I got into it with Coburn. So I've got going to, I'm not too heavy on this other, this Brad Carson either, but if it comes down to between the two of them, I'm going to have to vote for Carson.
Yeah, now he's
I called Carson's office the other day, and his secretary said, now we're working on your Purple Heart. We need some more information. I said, look, I've got it here. All you have to do is to have me fax this to you. I said, it's a medical treatment slip from Gelsenkirchen, Germany, Field Hospital that says that Paul B. Thomas, serial number 39229727, was admitted to the hospital with puncture wounds in his left leg. And I said, the people here that's in the disabled veterans tell me that is enough to qualify me for the Purple Heart. But I said, let me tell you something. I didn't ask for this. My caseworker is the one that's doing all this work. I just happened to answer his question one day. He said, how did you get hurt? I said, well, I was on the bank of the Rhine River, and we heard some noise that sounded maybe like mortars going off. They don't make much noise. And I said, we ran into a building, and one of my group tripped a booby trap.
Oh,
blew the building up, and the roof caved in, and drove a bunch of spike nails, rusty ones, in my legs, and pinned me to the floor.
Oh my God.
And I said, I was taken out of there to the hospital, and here's the slip I got saying that I was admitted with puncture wounds. So there's no, I told her, I said, all you have to do is just have me fax you this or come by and get it. I said, but my caseworker told me that he had spoken to the congressman and that he had been helpful before and other things and that he was going to help. So I'm just waiting to see if Brad Carson's going to produce or not. I don't. I'm not a big hog about the first part. I mean, that would be nice to get. Yes.
Yeah.
Certainly. But I'm not going to falsify any records or make it like I'm a hero. Yes. I was just pure and simple. I just ran into the wrong damn building.
That's right. That's not like that.
We had a bunch of mortar shells come in, and they blew the damn buildings up, and I got caught in the wreckage and hooked my leg on a couple of big old rusty spikes. I had to have tetanus shots. I was in the hospital then when FDR died. I was laying there in the hospital, and an orderly come in. They said, "How do you know you was there on the 12th of April?" I said, "That's when the Roosevelt died. Don't you know anything?"
Yeah.
I said, the orderly said, "Everybody be quiet now. I've got an announcement." So I said, "We all shut up for a minute." He said, "The commander-in-chief has just died down Warm Springs, Georgia. FDR has just passed away. That's why I know where I was when he died. I was in the hospital with my leg punctures in Gelsenkirchen, Germany. That's where they have these ice carnivals, ice skating contests and things. I saw it on TV here once in a while. All back memories to me.
Well, you sure had a heck of a life, Paul.
Yeah, I've had for an eight air boy. I rode a freight train to get down to California. Oh, that was exciting. I tell you, the brakeman tried to kick me off the train. I made him stop the damn train. I said, "I'm not jumping because it'll break both of my legs." I knew his dad was killed by a hobo. You see, and here I am, fresh out of high school, wearing a new Hamilton wristwatch that I got for graduation, and my high school ring, and this brakeman said, "Are you trying to get yourself killed?" He says, "They'll kill you for that jewelry. Get your ass back in that caboose."
Yeah.
And I'll be back there. And he come back, and I rode with him back there all the way to Colorado Springs. Oh, my aunt in Denver, they met me there at the underpass when you come into Denver, but I jumped off of the freight train, and I rode in the reefer. The reefer is where they put food, and those are usually got ice in them. But I was running with a bunch of black people, and me and two other blacks are the ones, only two, that were fast enough to catch that train out of Hoisington, Kansas. Hoisington and Hutchison. Oh, man, they're tough on. They call me hobo. I said, "I'm no hobo. I'm just out of school. And I have been up here working on a Kansas wheat farm, helping you folks put your harvest away. Here's my check to show you. I'm not a bum." "Yes, you are."
Yeah.
Well, okay. But I wouldn't jump off the train, so I made him swing that lantern out. And I could feel the train slowing down. Now, he was real sarcastic. He says, "Does that suit you?" I said, "Yeah, I'll jump now, Brakeman." So I did. I jumped. But I spent the night in an abandoned elevator, and it rained. The next morning, I heard a train switching, and I went out and crawled in and got down in that reefer, and I felt those burr heads in there. It was dark. I couldn't see, but I felt those black heads. They're the ones that couldn't catch the damn thing with me. back at Hoisington. All those black guys. And so we had kind of a reunion together.
I'll bet.
We got off got to Colorado Springs. I called my aunt. And that was the end of the hoboing for Paul.
I want to ask you, now, the Cherokee Elders Council, is the address still
PO? Now?
The Cherokee Elders Council, is your mailing address still PO Box 592 and prior?
That's my personal box also.
Okay.
Box 592. Yes, sir. 74362.
74362.
362.
And
825-1161. 918.
825 again.
825-1161.
Okay.
My phone number.
And who?
I'm up
who,
till midnight every night.
Who's your new? Who is the new operating head of the council now? Did you say?
From here?
Yeah.
Meredith Fraley is our new council person from here.
No, I'm talking about for the Cherokee. The, who's the new chief elder of the that took over your position?
Oh, Jack Hummingbird.
Okay, Jack Hummingbird. Okay.
Yeah, he's I turned it over to Jack. He's a big 6'6", 230 or 40 pounder.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, he comes here and visits with me. He big.
Do you know? Do you know whether any anybody in the council has an internet connection or an email address?
Internet connection.
Oh, or email address.
Robin's the only one.
Robin Maines?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, good deal.
You know him?
We've corresponded a time or two. Yes, we have.
You know how to get a hold of him?
I sure do. Yeah, back when
Box 9. I mean, area code 940.
Uh huh.
566-6567, Denton, Texas.
Back when that, who was that redheaded lady that was a member of the council and then left the council and then went over and opened that inner Cherokee elders board?
Now, say that again.
Well, there was a redheaded lady who's very prominent in the Cherokee Nation as a genealogist. She was a member of Cherokee Elders Council, and then she left the council and went over and had a discussion board on the internet for quite some time. Can't remember her name. She's a redheaded lady.
When she found out who it was, they were only heard the gunshot. No one on either side saw anything.
She left the council, and then went over and started up.
Jerry.
Oh, Jerry.
Jerry. Yeah.
What's her last name?
Huh? Yeah, well, she's kind of... She doesn't like me.
What's her last name? I can't remember either.
I'd have to look in the phone.
Oh, that's okay.
Next time you call... Jerry... shit. She got a daughter, too, that's very active. Uh-huh.
Okay, that's all right.
She works out here for the housing. Her daughter does, great big 200 and some pounder. Jerry is a very, very hard person for me to... she has started more rumors on me than you can shake it.
Well, her and my friend John Duke got into it for quite a while, and then they decided they were going to be friends.
Yeah.
After they butt heads and fought like tigers, they got some respect for each other, and then they became friends.
Oh.
It seems like that's the way it is on Cherokees. Sometimes you got to butt heads, get a little respect for each other, and then you're friends. And
Jerry,
she's gonna bring
the
unicorn.
Okay.
But I've got it written down in the phone book, but next time we talk, if you don't have it, I'll get it for you.
Well, listen, we appreciate you.
All right.
We appreciate you, and we're going to...
I've got a letter here that she wrote about me, a bunch of lies. She's vicious as hell, that Jerry.
But we're going to...
Gloria is her daughter. Gloria Deer in Water.
Yeah, I don't know.
Have you heard that name?
No, I sure haven't.
Gloria Deerenwater is her daughter. But they don't look Cherokee any more than the man in the moon. Either one of them. And I've got my doubts.
Well, at least
but I never said anything. You know, just one of those things. If they want to be Cherokee, let them be.
Well, they're going to be Cherokee. Everybody needs to be nice.
Well, listen, why don't you call me again one of these days?
I sure appreciate you. We're going to recruit some members with this broadcast.
We'll try to revive a few things.
Hey, I sure appreciate
you. Now, if you want Robin's address, 3344 Ashcroft Lane.
Okay.
3334 Ashcroft. It's like our Attorney General.
Right.
Lane.
In Denton.
Denton, Texas.
Okay.
And I'll have to look for that zip code.
Well, I'll just give him give him a phone call.
3344 Ashcroft Lane, Denton, Texas. Robin Mays.
I'll give him a
phone. And he's a good one.
Maybe we ought to interview him, talk about the old Cherokee Constitution.
You what?
Maybe we ought to interview
him. Now, he can tell you about that Constitution better than I can.
Well, Paul, we sure appreciate you being on
all right.
Broadcast.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Send me something if you want to.
I sure will. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases.
I'm Austin Powers. I like Gas Mojo. The very sexy and very sweet thing. Yeah.
But you gotta have Gas Mojo, baby. Yeah!
What a gas, baby. Yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi, folks. This is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do it, so you just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net engine booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter. It contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary media. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks, and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it.
We got his prints on the car that moved it from that 25 a few days back. What he was. I don't like these games. He was buying prescriptions from a little dude. He was working with a nurse at the time. God damn it. The next thing I see, CJ comes back home. Sweet. He's up there. Doing a pickup from a place called Fire. So he bounced. The name. Second day, he knows about it. He has you. Now, I need to come up. Hope they will give us protection. So, keep up with those his trap. Thank you for abandoning us.
Right after,
sister is there, kids, friends, home.
Like a lover's hand,
our savior of life.
The very breath you gave me goes intently through the years.
You did it.
So let the wind blow.
Get my friend reference back.
We can know your wisdom. Teach us what you can. There's a mighty dark cloud hanging overhead over here.
Thank you. receipts of the cash from your inventory. You don't trust me. I want to buy them. Keep in touch.
Camera for the very first time. ABC's Neil Karlinski.
Watching O.J. Simpson take the stand, one hand left free, the other shackled, it's hard to imagine this aging inmate is the same man who's been the symbol of a nation's racial divide.
Would you please tell
him about today? For all of Simpson's escapades, all the trouble and tabloid mayhem he's been embroiled in, today marked the very first time he's ever testified in any of his criminal cases.
Your voice was pretty loud in the room.
My voice is always loud.
Simpson wound up convicted of robbery and kidnapping while trying to get back his own mementos.
My stuff. I follow what I thought of law. My lawyer told me you can't break into a guy's room. I didn't break into anybody's room.
Simpson is in court to argue an age-old complaint that his lawyer, Yale Galanter, did a terrible job defending him, and that's why he's in prison today. Mm-hmm. The key complaint that Galanter didn't put Simpson on the stand to cover the fact that he had reportedly given Simpson the green light for his questionable plan, and that he didn't tell Simpson of a possible plea deal at the time that could have gotten him a much lighter sentence than the 9 to 33 years he's now serving.
If you had heard about a plea offer for one count of robbery, would you have taken that?
I certainly would have considered it.
His new attorneys hope to win Simpson a new trial for this bungled sports memorabilia heist captured on camera in a Las Vegas hotel. It's been 19 years since O.J. Simpson, the Heisman Trophy winner and former star NFL running back turned actor, seen here in The Naked Gun, was accused of the brutal murders of his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman.
We just received information that the person in that car, if it is O.J. Simpson, reportedly has a gun to his head.
19 years since O.J. captivated the country in that slow-speed police chase through Los Angeles, as TV cameras followed from helicopters in pursuit of that now infamous white Ford Bronco. Over the course of the next year, the nation followed the sensational proceeding dubbed the Trial of the Century, an event that was carried live, gavel to gavel on television, complete with a cast of characters straight out of a crime drama. Who can forget Cato? O.J.'s defense team was even dubbed the Judge Dream Team.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Counsel, is there anything else we need to take up before I invite the jurors to join us?
And then the verdict that would cause millions to stop whatever they were doing, find a television set, and watch.
We, the jury of the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orrin Ball James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder.
The emotional reaction inside the courtroom was matched.
Orrin Ball. Orrin Ball James.
Divided along racial lines, with many African Americans jubilant at the acquittal.
Orrin Ball James.
And others in shock at his release.
A black one. You know how they like to make them out.
Absolutely disgusted.
After the mountains of evidence that had been leveled against him, the family of Ron Goldman, especially his sister Kim, sank in grief while the Browns sat in shock. Simpson's family cried for joy, and the defendant, who seemed stunned at first, lip-synced his thanks to the jury that had set him free. In 1997, O.J. took the stand in a civil suit filed by the murder victim's families, but it wasn't on camera. He was found guilty for the wrongful death and battery of Ronald Goldman and the battery of Nicole Brown Simpson. He was ordered to pay a $33.5 million penalty, but his NFL pension was protected under California law. Then in 2007 came the book, If I Did It, a supposedly imaginary account of how Simpson might have committed the murder. Simpson originally published the book for the division of Rupert Murdoch's Fox Corporation, to the outrage of the Goldman family, who described it as a way to profit from a thinly murder. The book executive was fired, and Goldman won rights to the book and all the money it makes. Fred Goldman spoke to Nightline in 2007.
He's proven to the world for years that he thinks he can do whatever he wants, and the system has let him do it.
Throughout the day, Simpson seemed loose, animated, and almost anxious to talk.
even joking about drinking too much the afternoon before the botched and bizarre robbery that put him behind bars.
Hey, I joke. He says I should never have an empty glass, is what I would tell the waitress. You know, so we were celebrating.
Famed trial attorney Mark Garagos watched Simpson's long-awaited testimony today.
I think so far today he looks a heck of a lot better than he did during the civil trial. Today, at least so far, he's come off as fairly credible.
Years ago, there was concern that putting Simpson on the stand could open him up to uncomfortable questions about his past, but attorneys said the judge this week wouldn't allow it.
I know people don't like to hear this. This case and this
sentence,
I think, are obviously back for the acquittal of the case.
Today, Simpson's life includes reading golf magazines and watching TV inside a 6x10-foot cell where he gets a cellmate and uses the bottom bunk. His close friend Tom Scotto said Simpson is aging rapidly in his new life.
What's it take in prison?
He's working at the gym. He's in charge of the gym. He coaches a baseball team for the gym. He's just trying to live his life there. I mean, that's what he has to do right now.
In court today, he was handcuffed at one point to get a drink of water. But otherwise, seemed like a man at ease. But hoping for something more, his testimony would answer any of the old questions. It's just a last-ditch attempt at freedom for a man who won't get his first shot at parole until he's 70. I'm Neil Karlinski for Nightline in Las Vegas.
OJ on the stand. Thanks to Neil for that. Well, next up, are you an influencer inside the social network where clout is the key to cool?
65, he said.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Hotels.com. The Great Outdoor. A great deal, thanks to Dad.
Well, is somebody going to look for George Gordon? Because he was on the arm of the chair.
Fuzzy? Fuzzy, was he?
If you're suffering from constipation, Miralax or Metamucil may take days to work. For faster relief, try Delcalax Positive Tablets. Delcalax provides gentle relief overnight, unlike Miralax or Metamucil, that can take up to 3 days.
Was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy.
This is the age of knowing how to make things happen. So why let a reptile dysfunction get in your way? Talk to your doctor about Viagra. 20 million men already have. Ask your doctor if your part is healthy enough for sex. Do not take Viagra if you take nitrates for chest pain. It may cause an unsafe drop in blood pressure. Side effects include headache, flushing, upset stomach, and abnormal vision. Don't let long-term injury seek immediate medical help for an erection lasting more than 4 hours.
Okay, I will.
Hey, America, even though she doesn't need them, she is cha-chaing into pink.
I like to not let a hair of his
protection, look, fits, and feels just like underwear. Get a free sample and try for yourself.
And I'm still hooked.
Yeah.
Right. Mendel.
On the next Spirit of East Tennessee, how a simple melody can bridge the gap between the young and old.
I went to a department store and made an 8-year mistake.
I went to a furniture store and made an 8-year mistake.
I shopped at the wrong mattress store and made an 8-year mistake.
This Memorial Day, don't take chances shopping at the wrong mattress store. If your mattress is over 8 years old, it's time to replace at Mattress Firm, where we guarantee you'll be happy or your money back. So this Memorial Day, don't make an 8-year
miserable
8-year mistake. Mattress Firm, save money, be happy.
Prompt the usher at a show to come pull you out of line and take you to the VIP area.
or a hotel to automatically upgrade your room.
Ooh,
so in effect, Joe and his team have created a new form of currency, which only works if we all agree on what that currency is worth. Does Snooki really deserve an 87 while Doris Kearns Goodwin is a 60? Well, it depends if you're looking for a trusted source on Abraham Lincoln or Jello Shots. And even though we're both in the 80s, am I really as influential as Pope Francis? Since Snooki kissed my ring today, I'm going to assume because he's only sent 41 tweets to my 4,000. But regardless of expertise, shouldn't President Obama have a higher score than the Los Angeles Dodgers? Because today, he doesn't. And tomorrow, who knows? If they're chasing that car all the time. Which is like
go around these places, maybe I get in there. Right?
Yeah.
The flow of our online lives, though, this all seems so random and arbitrary. So maybe the shortest part of Joe's business is the fact that when you put a number next to a person, ego takes over. What do you say to the person who thinks that this is really kind of creepy? This is another treadmill I have to go on. I have to tweet while I'm on vacation or I'm going to lose my status. You know, can't we all just coexist in this universe without scoring each other?
The idea with Cloud is really to help.
What are you doing? I'm trying to give a little more than
about it, and much or little is appropriate for them. So if you want to obsess and even cheat to get your Cloud score a little higher, Bonnie has a great tip.
If you tweet a video of like a cute little baby monkey riding a dog, or you get any kind of cheat video doing anything,
did you see the monkey riding a dog?
I was watching. I just looked away.
Okay, now what? Maybe I.